Thank you, Steve. Marvin, I think you have to take it out and point it at it. Sorry. Okay, so what is religion? Ernest Holmes gave us a definition of this new thought teaching that we practice. He said it's a correlation of the laws of science, the opinions of philosophy, and the revelations of religion applied to human needs and the aspirations of man. Now, I would broaden that to say the needs and aspirations of humankind to include all of us. So the revelations of religion, that refers to an awakening of our spirituality, an awakening of our spiritual nature, remembering who we are. So that's what a revelation is. It's an aha. Ah, I get it. So when we see beyond our human limitations to the greater truth of who we are, that's when we've had a revelation. So our religion is actually a vehicle. It's just a vehicle through which we awaken to our spiritual nature. Our religion, if it's done correctly, should take us from one perception of ourselves into another. So instead of seeing ourselves as just what's between our hat and our boots, as Walt Whitman says, I'm more than what's between my hat and my boots, we see beyond that. We see an expanded understanding of who we are. Now, my childhood religion, the religion of my family and my parents and my extended family, that worked just fine for them. So obviously it was the right religion for them. But I came to a place in my understanding at a fairly early age that it simply wasn't the right religion for me. It wasn't quite what I was looking for. So that's when I found New Thought. And we were living in Orlando, Florida, and I only knew the religion of my childhood, the religion that I had been born into. And so when I came to this crisis point in my life where it didn't work, I didn't know where to turn. Now there are many more resources available. We can go online and we can put in some words and we can find more of what we're looking for. But at that time, those resources weren't there. So a friend's mother, who had been a longtime Unity student, she was communicating with her daughter, and the topic of me and my search came up. So Mrs. Morris started writing me letters, and she would write me two or three letters a week and explain things to me and talk to me and helped me over a big existential crisis I was having in my life. So for me, the doorway into this teaching was through Unity. Unity is one of the two branches, one of the two things that we combine here at the Spiritual Enrichment Center. And about 10 years after I found Unity, I found Religious Science, which is also called Science of Mind, and more recently, the Centers for Spiritual Living. So you can see why I would be very delighted that we are able to combine both of them here at the Spiritual Enrichment Center, because that forms my background, my basis. So I had finally found a framework in which my soul's needs and aspirations could be met. It was a correlation, as Holmes said, of the laws of science, the opinions of philosophy, and the revelations of religion woven together in a way that met my human aspirations and needs. So in this teaching, we don't teach or feel that we have the one and only way that you can find God or find your spirituality. Therefore, we don't proselytize. We don't try to convince anybody or convert anybody. We don't try to save anybody, because we believe that everyone has their own spiritual intuition, their own spiritual guidance, and that everybody's where they need to be for their understanding at that time in their life. However, we do want to inform people what we have going on here. So if they're looking for something, as I was at one time, and perhaps you were at some time, they will know that there is another perception, there's another way of looking at this that might be exactly what they are looking for. Therefore, we honor all religions. We don't honor only ours, although we are grateful to ours for what it provides for us. So if you've been here even once. You've heard in our opening prayer, the prayer for all religious paths, all spiritual paths, because we know that although the names are different, as Daryl sang in his song, the names for what we call this spiritual presence and power vary, and also the types of places where we assemble also vary. At the heart, it's all the same. At the heart, it's about love. It's about God. So Ernest Holmes, in his book, Can We Talk to God, said it this way. He said, I believe in every religion that exists, for it is an avenue through which people worship God. I believe in my own religion more than that of anyone else, because this is the avenue through which I worship. So one of the things that I found in this teaching was a concept of oneness. Oneness. In other words, I heard and believed it when I heard it, that all people are individualized centers of God. They're centers of God consciousness, spiritual power, and that we are as complete as we know ourselves to be, and we know ourselves only as we comprehend our relationship to the whole. So we have to wake up to this realization. Although it's true for us, we're only able to implement it and use it in our development as we know it's true for us. So it's a process of waking up and remembering who we are, remembering our connection and oneness and wholeness with the divine. So the more we know and feel our spiritual power, it's based on how we understand our relationship to the one, to the whole. So that's what we teach here, and that's what we remind ourselves of week after week after week, that we are magnificent spiritual beings, and that there's one presence and one power in our lives, and we call it good. We call it God, and that it's done unto us as we believe, and we can change what we believe, and therefore we can change our lives. So that falls under the category of being mindful. Being aware of the thoughts that are going on in our head. You know, we have thoughts rattling around in our head all the time. And you may have heard that thing, don't believe everything you think, because some of the things that we're thinking have been based on old, limited, negative information that simply is not true. So we have to be mindful of what it is that our belief system is, what it is we're believing, so that we can update it and up-level it to the highest truth about who we are. Many of us grew up hearing negative, limited thoughts about ourselves. That was sometimes all our parents knew because that was what they were given. And so when we become mindful about these beliefs that are rattling around in our heads, then we can choose again. Like the song, Love is My Decision. It's a decision that only we can make for ourselves. So we don't have to keep thinking those same old thoughts that have been dished out to us through the years. Some of the things that you may have heard, I know I have, are things like, you aren't good enough. Now the spiritual truth about that is that we are magnificent spiritual beings. That is the truth. So if you've got that old I'm not good enough thought, that might be one that you'll want to pluck out and release from your thought system. How about, you're never going to be able to do that. You're never going to be able to do that. Well, the truth is we can do all things through the God power within us, which strengthens us, which is always with us, which gives us everything we need. I know Daryl taps into that every week with his music. He taps into that wellspring of creativity, that wellspring of God, and he brings it forth to create the beautiful music that he shares with us. Another thought that we get exposed to as the years pass is, you know, you're getting older. You have to be careful. You can't do that anymore. Well, the truth is that we're as old as God, but we're as young as God, too. So how do you choose to identify yourself? Another one is, and this is something you may have heard a lot lately, there's a lot of colds and flu going around. Be careful. You might catch something. Well, the truth is that we catch ideas. So affirm that you catch the ideas of health, the ideas of wholeness, the ideas of well-being. Those are the ideas that we want to catch. So just be aware of your thinking and how you may be limiting yourself or keeping yourself in in smaller unwanted circumstances by what your beliefs are. One of the beliefs that I have to conquer every single week, and you'd think I would know it by now. I've been a minister for 15 years. You'd think I would have known by now. But every week I have to confront that old voice in my head that says, you may not have anything important to say. You may not have anything good enough to say. So I have to talk that voice down. I have to talk myself off the ledge, you know. Every week I have to do that. I was a little consoled when I read that Donald Sutherland, who has acted in more than 100 films, gets so nervous before a filming that he throws up. And that's after doing over 100 films. So I thought, well, that's consoling. So you've heard of writer's block. Well, ministers get that too. We get that thought that comes up of, do I have anything to say? Will there be anything there for me? So I have to remind myself that I live in this wellspring of creative ideas, creative thought, that I'm connected with Spirit, and that what I need to say will flow through me in the right way. So when I sit down at my computer to type up my notes, I have to remind myself of that every single week. So if you ever have to remind yourself of that, know that you're in good company too. You have me, you have Donald Sutherland. There are lots of ways that we have to challenge those old ideas. And even though I know that, I still play this scary game with myself that maybe this is the time I can't do it. So if you ever have that, remember that those are some things that you can confront and talk down in your own mind. So what we teach here is called the religion of healthy-mindedness. The religion of healthy-mindedness based on, again, the laws of science, the opinions of philosophy, and the revelations of religion. So the way we understand it here, all religions are based on spiritual principles, spiritual laws. So every religion is based on spiritual principles and spiritual laws that are interpreted through their own language, their own culture, their own understanding. And they come out sounding pretty similar when you look at it. I'd like to introduce you to a little book in case you aren't familiar with it. It's called Oneness, and it's written by Jeffrey Moses. And in this book, on the front cover, the Dalai Lama says this: as this book shows, every major religion of the world has similar ideas of love and the same goal of benefiting humanity through spiritual practice. That's the Dalai Lama. So in this book, there are different spiritual principles that are explained through the teachings of various religions. So for example, the Golden Rule, you might have thought that was Christian. Well, the Christian version is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this is the law and the prophets. But Islam says, do unto all men as you would they should do unto you, and reject for others what you would reject for yourself. And Judaism says, what is hurtful to yourself, do not do to your fellow man. That is the whole of the Torah. The remainder is just commentary. And Sikhs say, treat others as thou wouldst be treated thyself. So it's all the same teaching. It's just interpreted in different words by different religions. Here's another one. This is about heaven within. In the Christian faith, it says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And the Buddhists say, if you think the law is outside yourself, you're embracing not the absolute law, but some inferior teaching. And the Hindus say, God bides hidden in the hearts of all. So you can see it's the same principle, it's just interpreted differently. And concerning religion, the definition of religion, Buddhism says, wherein does religion consist? It consists in doing as little harm as possible, in doing good in abundance, and in the practice of love, of compassion, of truthfulness and purity in all walks of life. And Christianity says, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And it goes on, the Tao says, pity the misfortunes of others, rejoice in the well-being of others, help those who are in want, save those in danger, rejoice at the success of others, and sympathize with their reverses, even as though you were in their place. So it's all the same, folks. There's just one presence, one power, one life, one love. We have different ways of expressing it, understanding it, and worshiping together. So if it's all one, and they're based on spiritual principles, why do we have such division among different religious sects? Well, I would say somebody's not getting to the heart of their teaching. That's what I would say it comes down to. They're listening to the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. They're listening to the myths that their religions perpetuate. They're mything the point. They're mything the point. You know, we have a children's program in the back if she would like to go back there. Yeah. Okay, fine. So some people are calling themselves adherents to their religion, but they really aren't. They've missed the point of their religion. So one's religion, if it is true and helpful, doesn't prepare us so much for a future in heaven as it prepares us for a heavenly experience right here and right now. We can create a world that works for everyone. If we love our neighbors as ourselves, if we do good to all people, if we see the God presence within every human being. Holmes said, the conventional idea of the future life with its teachings of rewards and punishment is not stressed in our teaching. The gospel is the good news for the here and now. Religion, if it means anything, means right living, and right living and right thinking wait upon no future, but bestow their rewards in this lifetime, in better health, happier homes, and all that make for a balanced, normal life. So we believe that there is a power for good in the universe greater than we are, and we can use it. This power is equally present everywhere, and it's available to all. There are many religions in the world, but there's only one reality, one truth. And love is our decision. Love is our religion. Looking around at the various religions of the world, we might see a lot of differences and sometimes not much unity. But we need to remember that there are organizations and people working towards this unity. There are organizations that are promoting this. We have the World Parliament of Religions, and we also have the United Religions Initiative, of which we are a part. The World Parliament of Religions has a worldwide international meeting. I think it's every 2 years. I went to the one year before last in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was amazing to see so many different faith paths represented and coming together in harmony. And week before last, Sari from United Religions Initiative showed us how to do a process called appreciative inquiry, where instead of looking at the problem and trying to solve it from the level of the problem, which Einstein told us never works, she taught us to look at the appreciate what is working. What is working? So as we look at our lives and around the world, let's find what is working. Let's find an appreciation for what is working, because we know that what we focus on is what we increase in our experience. So we don't want to focus on what isn't working. We want to focus on what is working. That's what will help to lead us forward. So we're the ones in charge of our thinking, and that decision is ours. Love is our decision. And to do this requires a radical change of mind. We have to change our mind. We have to move from the old paradigm of competitiveness into cooperation. We have to move from wanting to be right to wanting to live in harmony. We have to move from ego-centeredness to oneness and wholeness. But we can be the change that we want to see in the world. Love is our decision. It's up to us. We have an affirmation that love is my religion. I am one with God, one with all my fellow beings, one with all that is. Let's read it together. Love is my religion. I am one with God, one with my fellow beings, one with all that is. Thank you. So it is. Namaste. Okay, let's end with prayer. Let's just go within in gratitude that we know that love is the true religion, that the essence of love is at the heart of every religion, and every adherent who is truly following their own religion finds their way to that love at the center of their being. For we are one, we are whole, we are united in that love. Nothing can separate that except those negative, limited thoughts in our own mind, and we are in charge of moving those out, of kicking those out, and replacing them with positive thoughts of love and oneness and wholeness and what is working. I'm grateful that we know how to do this and that we are supported in doing that. Thank you, Divine Spirit, and so it is. Amen.